Would you join with me in prayer? Speak, O Lord, for your servants are listening. Amen. It's the season we tell stories. The best stories are always a story within a story. Within the particular drama, there is a larger backdrop that charges a scene with particular significance. It's the season we tell stories, a particular story. It's the story of a celebration. Mary and Joseph are with child. They travel a long distance to Bethlehem. They are young. They are poor. And the time is near. In a stable in the backyard of the Roman Empire, in a dusty and forgettable town, Mary has a baby. It's a boy. And they name him Jesus, which means Savior. Throughout his life, he will go by many names, names that will echo down the canyon of time to us tonight. The shepherds come. Magi from exotic lands come bearing gifts. Gifts are given and gifts are received. And at some point, the heavens open up, and all that has breath that witnesses this particular scene says, Alleluia. This is the particular story we celebrate in this season of Christmas. It's a story we all know, even if we don't know it. It's a story of celebration. Mary has a baby. He is named Jesus. It's a story of celebration, however, not just for Mary and Joseph, but for all the world, at all times, and in all places. Why? The answer to that question has to do with another story. You see, this story of Mary and Joseph takes place within a larger epic arc. There is a drama that frames this particular drama. It is this dramatic backdrop that charges this birth with special significance. The story of Mary having a baby is a story of celebration, but this celebration is framed within a larger story of conflict. This story of conflict is a story about God, and it is a story about you. It goes all the way back to the dawn of time. You see, in the beginning, God spoke a word, and that word brought forth life, all kinds of life, interesting life. The wisdom of the world put the world spinning on its axis to give this life a home, a land, a geography. What God meant for all of this life he created was to have peace with him and with each other and with the land. This peace was called by some shalom. This peace, this shalom, is what God willed for life. Peace is much more than a ceasefire between enemies. It's much more comprehensive than mere toleration. Peace, at least in the biblical use of the word, is the webbing together of God, humans, and all creation in justice, fulfillment, and delight. Shalom means the universal flourishing, wholeness, and enjoyment, a rich state of affairs that inspires youthful wonder at its creator. Shalom, peace, means all things are knit together in God's design and will. Peace. This is what God created us for. This peace is what God made you for. And I know it sounds idealistic, and I know it sounds like a dream. At least it feels elusive to me some days, and I know it feels elusive for some of you here tonight. Peace. I know for many of you, your going home at Christmas isn't peaceful. I know that there are many of you right now who are grieving. You are mourning losses that are real. Relationships, divorce in the family, loss of innocence, the death of a beloved member of your family, a friend. I know that peace seems far away, and I know that it's difficult to grasp. And not just in here, but even out there. I know when you poke your heads up from the books, which I know that you're studying for finals right now, you hear nothing but the opposite of peace. You hear about conflict in the world. Israel and Palestine, civil war in Syria, nuclear warheads humming in Iran, perpetual tensions in Egypt, a fiscal cliff. It seems that peace, at least the kind of peace God intended us for, the shalom kind of peace, is a wish you write down on a piece of paper and put in an envelope posted to the North Pole. So what happened? If peace is what we were made for, then why is it so elusive for us? You see, God created the world for peace, but it all went sideways. God's beautiful design for peace in the world exploded. God's peace was shattered into a billion broken shards that cut and caused us to bleed over and over and over again. You see, we didn't want God's love. We didn't want his peace. Our hearts wandered far away. We wanted to be our own God. We wanted to listen to our own voices. We broke the peace. God's shalom gave way to a perpetual conflict. Peace with God gave way to a conflict with God and with each other, and with the land, and with ourselves. It is this conflict that brought the darkness. Even in the daylight, the darkness became thick for us, because the darkness is now in us. Those who could see were still blind. Those who could hear no longer could understand, because we preferred the darkness to the light. It's easier to hide in the dark. But God was not finished with us. God wanted us to walk in the light. God still wanted us to experience peace, all this life that he made. He wanted it to know peace. God wanted us to know his love, even though we didn't want it. How do you restore a world shattered into a million pieces once it has shattered? It would take time. God would have to get creative, find a way to restore the peace from the inside out. But how? God made a promise. The promise began with a particular person named Abraham. And through this one man, God would bring peace back into the world. It would take time, but he would bring the peace. Abraham gave birth to a people called Israel, and through Israel, God would do something new. God's promise to restore the peace was going to be accomplished through them. He gave Israel freedom, and then he gave them the law, and then he gave them a land. Here, they were to set up a kingdom that would show the world the promise of what peace could be like. The law was given to help us walk in the darkness without hurting each other. It helped a little, but the law still could not heal the deep pain. The law could not bring the peace, and of course it couldn't. Laws don't heal relationships. Rules can't fix what's already been broken. The deep down conflict continued to overwhelm us and our peace. Even with the law, the darkness overwhelmed us continually. God's promise would require something more dramatic, something that would heal the root cause of our conflict, the conflict in us. But since the conflict was in us, in our flesh, in our hearts and minds, it would require something impossible. But with God, the impossible is always a possibility. A new hope began to be whispered about this impossible possibility. It was whispered among the prophets. It started as a low murmur, but became the loudest declaration of hope. It was a hope whispered from that other world, the world that shines forth from the dawn of time. From this other world, God would send the light from true light to defeat once and for all the darkness. This light would bring us the peace that God wills for us. The light was God's hope to end the conflict. It was whispered by the prophet Isaiah, "For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace would end our conflict with God. The Messiah will have many names, but one of them is Prince of Peace. And this Prince will embody our hope. And then it happened. In the backyard of the Roman Empire, in a forgettable and dusty town, Mary and Joseph had a baby, and he is named Jesus. The impossible became a possibility. God sent the light from true light to enter the darkness. The baby that Mary bore was how God chose to enter our deep conflict. God sent his son, the Prince, into the battle of our conflict. He sent the Prince to heal what we could not heal ourselves. The Prince came to touch the root cause of the crisis. He assumed our flesh so that he could heal our flesh. The Prince came to establish the peace once and for all. This is the dramatic backdrop. This is the larger story of conflict that frames the particular story of Mary and Joseph's celebration. This is why the story of Mary and Joseph's celebration is also our celebration. For unto us a child is born, a son is given, authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Prince of Peace. But how would this little baby, this infant, bring peace to the entire world? What would be his counsel for how to end the conflict? How would this Prince fight for us? How would he restore and establish the peace? The story of celebration at the cradle will lead to the dramatic climax on a cross. The story of celebration turns to sorrow only that we might never be sorrowful again. The cradle in the backyard of the Roman Empire sits in the shadow of a cross on Calvary. It is on the cross where God will end the conflict. It is on the cross that we see the wisdom of the Wonderful Counselor. It is on the cross that we see the strategy and courage of the Almighty God in battle for us. It is on the cross that we see the love of the Everlasting Father. It is on the cross that Jesus becomes the Prince of Peace. The Apostle Paul says it this way, "For in him the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile all things by making peace through the blood of his cross." In the fullness of time, God came to us. And in the cross, we see God healing us. It is at the moment when the people who walked in darkness saw a great light. Here on the cross, Jesus justifies his name, Prince of Peace. It is the cross to come which will give the particular story of Mary's having a baby its meaningful significance of celebration. Friends, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is the royal son who ends the conflict between us and God. This is the long consequence of the cross, and it is this consequence that gives Christmas its resonance and lifelong significance. This is the story of God, But this story includes you. God came in his son Jesus to enter your conflict, whatever that conflict is. God came to give you peace. The good news is that God has done it. God has entered. God has made it personal. God has given us peace back. Shalom, the full reconciliation that makes our flourishing possible. That is the Christian faith. But tonight I want to end with a question. Do you believe this? Do you believe that this peace is for you? This is the question that is for you to answer, and no one else can answer it for you. My Christmas prayer for you is that this will be a season where you will come to believe, maybe for the first time. Maybe believe it again, though you have believed it for many years, but it will be a belief, a faith that will get so deep in you and transform you to live a new life in life. My prayer is that you will learn to trust God's peace for you. And if you do, then you will know that this peace from the Prince is the greatest gift you will ever receive at Christmas. Let us pray. Eternal God of light, we thank you that you have entered our conflict. You shone your light in the darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend it, could not understand it. Your light shines and it overwhelms the darkness. We thank you, Lord, that you have come to us to heal us, to bring us peace. For that amazing gift, God, we rise up and say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And everyone at Hope said, Amen.